This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
So here is the special long play podcast, the full interview with none other but showrunner, executive producer and writer for something called The Walking Dead. That's right, that wonderful AMC series, now into season 3. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam, with the great pleasure of speaking to Glenn Mazzara on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Enjoy. I just want to welcome you, of course, to Sci-Fi and Squeam. It's fantastic to have someone of your stature, actually, and calibre to be able to talk to you, you know, tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, I do have a question from my co-host, who unfortunately we... Now, you have a tertiary education in American and British literature for The Walking Dead. How do you think this has influenced your work on that show?
That's a great question. I think it's really made me look at the epic quality of the show and to focus on the characters and their long-term development, their how they are trying to make sense of their world, how they're trying to rebuild society. I sort of see the current season as a historical novel, if you will. This coming war between these two factions. It's a story being told on a big stage about how civilization is trying to rebuild itself after this apocalypse. So I'm definitely drawing on the major novelist structure, I believe.
Well, if people aren't aware of the work that you've done, pretty much I would say that The Walking Dead would be one of the most successful genre television series, I think, of this part of the 21st century. For you to be a writer of that sort of success as well, how's that been?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, as artists, what we want to do is, you know, tell our stories and hopefully tell them well and then put them out and hope somebody responds. And the fact that fans all over the world have connected to this material in an emotional way. People are possessive about it. It's my show. These are my characters. You better not kill off my characters, they say.
Yeah.
Via Twitter and stuff. It's really exciting. It's wonderful. And it's just been a thrill to work on.
Would you say, I mean, you've come from a background more as a, perhaps a geek from that perspective of a crime style, sort of style of shows. You've got The Shield that you came from. I think that was back in 2002. How different is it to write for horror?
That's interesting. When I first went over to The Walking Dead, I wrote a freelance for Frank Darabont season. And I saw the show as very similar to The Shield in that it was a gritty cop show. There's not a lot of technology in it, obviously. There wasn't a lot of technology in The Shield. And our protagonist, Rick, is a cop. So there are many scenes where I've approached material as he's a cop. How would he react in this situation? For example, last season there was an episode called Nebraska. And in one scene, he goes in to get Herschel, bring him back to the farm.
Yes.
Herschel's just drunk, and imagine just a cop being called because a drunk is causing problems. That's how Rick handles it. Two strangers come into the bar, and Rick ends up having to draw and shoot them. That's a clean police shooting. That's his training. You can see he's trying to make sure the tension doesn't build. He's trying not to let these guys escalate things. He's a cop using his cop training. That's what I've done to kind of keep the show grounded, I think, to realize that these characters are coming out of a very recognizable, grounded world now. and then they're put in extraordinary, fantastical genre circumstances. But their starting point is the world we know, and that's how I've approached it.
Yeah, it's interesting with the action. It's a very action-orientated style that you've used in the writing form. Now, you started to work with AMC Television as a freelance writer. How did you get that role to begin with? Because, I mean, I think we want to look at the writing aspect more due to the fact you're going to be over here very shortly with the TV Writers Studio through epiphany.com.au.
Well, I was originally asked to join the staff of the show, but I was working on another show, so I wasn't available. And I did like this material, and I you know, was a fan, obviously, of Frank Darabont. I had met him when he directed an episode of The Shield. The first season writing staff was comprised of several Shield writers who I knew, and another writer who hadn't been on The Shield, but I knew through friends. So I was interested in joining that writing staff, but I just wasn't available. And they said, well, would you at least write one episode? Which is sort of unusual. Usually freelance are given out to beginning writers. I literally said to my agent, hey, accept the offer before they figure out they shouldn't offer it to me. Let's get it off the table because I really want to write this show. And then I just, you know, worked with those writers and broke the story and then did my script, and Frank really responded to that script, and Frank was trying to find his way as a showrunner that first
year. Okay.
Had, you know, several conversations, and then he brought me on as his number two writer, his number two producer in the second season.
It's a great sort of community that you've got there, so basically almost moving between different camps, different programs. Are you finding that, I'm not going to say the cult of the writer has really finally been, you know, recognized. Instead of usually the stars of a certain show on television, it seems to be that the writer's time has come, finally.
Every writer wishes it was. But yeah. I will say that there's really been some wonderful work done on cable in the past 10 years.
Definitely.
And as feature films become more and more expensive, and network fare become more popcorn oriented, to try to bring as you know, sort of in the way summer blockbusters are, to try to bring in a larger audience, the independent film movement, let's say the character driven dramas, have been pushed over to cable, and those things are led by terrific writers like Vince Gilligan, Matt Weiner, Sean Ryan, Kurt Sutter, Grant Gost at Justified. And I think, you know, those writers not only are getting a chance to shine, but people have become a lot more savvy about using social media to connect with their audiences, so that those names also become recognizable to the audience, who has real appetite for learning everything they can about how their shows are made.
Another question here I've got from Dr. Beddoes, my cohort. Now, she mentions that the first episode that you wrote for The Walking Dead was Wildfire, I believe, from season one, and it was very significant for a number of reasons, foreshadowing Shane's darker side as that character was more introduced to the audience, and also to the CDC and Jenna, both of which would become crucial to plot developments. How did you come up with the idea for that episode?
Well, that's interesting. A lot of that was taken from the comic book, not the Jenna part. Issue about where do we go? I think there was some sort of, in the comic book, there was an aftermath of an attack. The Jenna part came from an idea by Frank Darabont. He introduced that character for the science fiction of this virus. He thought that was important for the audience.
Yes, great.
Your contribution, I felt, was how do you bridge those stories? And what I did was I realized that Laurie had a decision to make between Shane's plan and Rick's plan. And
yes,
there was a character choice in which she decided, if I go with Shane, I'm choosing my new lover. If I go with Rick's plan, I'm being the loyal wife. And she chooses this plan, even though she doesn't really believe in it. She chooses to be the loyal wife and to, you know, serve her duty to as a wife. She wants to be in that role. So I really approached the material from a character standpoint, not just a plot standpoint. And I think that's why Frank responded to that script. I think there was a moment there that the actors could chew on, and that made sense to people watching at home. So the idea of Andrea putting down her own sister was something that was really just had to be written and found, paged. And there were just a lot of great moments. I was very, very lucky that that was my episode.
I guess that brings me to the question how closely the series does reflect the original The Walking Dead comic by Image Comics.
We take that as inspiration. We're not a straight adaptation. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is a straight adaptation from what I understand. This is really, you know, let's take these characters, these settings, these major plot lines, and then make them our own. So in the comic book, Shane is killed within the first 6 issues.
That's right, yeah.
We teased it out as a major arc. The way we've introduced in this season, the governor, Woodbury, the fact that Andrea and Michonne bring the audience to Woodbury, that is not from the comic book at all. That's us taking those major plot points and really developing them in a way that serves our story best.
Yeah, no, it does work really well, I think.
And embraces that. He wants us to do that because he's not interested in a straight adaptation.
That's the ingenuity, I think, of the whole concept and of the show. Now, when people say to you, and this must happen quite regularly, if you kill Daryl, we riot, how do you respond to that type of fanship?
Well, listen, first of all, nobody's safe. Okay, and we're fully aware that Daryl is a great character and that fans love him. But we have to tell our story. I think, you know, we're mindful that people love all of these characters. And I love working with the actors. It's difficult when I'm the one who has to make the calls and tell people that they're being killed off.
Oh, yep.
Easy. But it's a very difficult conversation. Some people realize, you know, okay, this is my character. Some people feel, they take it personally as if they've done something, that they're being written off the show. And we should say, no, it's always a purely creative decision. You realize, you know, that people are serious about these characters and we don't take any of those deaths lightly.
Yes. I guess like the elimination, you would say, of T-Dog and Laurie in the most latest season, of course. That was stunning, just basically taking those characters out. And to me, I mean, as a viewer, it makes it a lot more exciting, the dramatic aspect of it. Is that what you're thinking about? Just let's try and make this as nail-biting or, you know, the cliffhanger style as much as possible?
Well, I am. You know, I see the show as a horror show, and I want people on the edge of their seats. I want it to be a thrill ride. I want people to really feel like we feel when we go to a horror movie in the theater. You sit on the edge of your seats and you say, oh, don't go down the hallway. Please, please don't open that door.
Yes, you know? Right.
I want that feeling. I want people to have that feeling. What's interesting about deaths in The Walking Dead is you cry when certain characters die.
Yeah.
It happened in horror movies. Horror movies, you're like, okay, that guy's dead. Now keep running, keep running.
Yeah.
Time to invest in a character in a horror movie. With Laurie's death in particular, though, you know, we knew that that was a character that the audience felt very strongly against.
Definitely. Judging by all the memes on Facebook. Poor character.
Yeah. And we knew people, you know, didn't respond to that character. And I really wanted to do a death in which people were sobbing over that death. And what's I'm proud about is that that is just a woman dying in childbirth. There's no zombie in that scene.
Yeah, and you that's right.
About in the breakdown of society to go to that primitive state in which there's no medical care and just dies during childbirth. It was very simple and heartbreaking and made it feel more real.
Was crying in that one because she's such a conflicted character, and yet when it comes down to it, whom I was crying for was more of her Carl, and then of course Rick when he discovers the terrible death of her and how the baby survives in that one too. It was a great episode.
Yeah,
fantastic.
The actors did a great job.
Yes.
When we shot that episode, it was well directed by Guy Ferland. It was written by Song Kim, and the actors really brought it. They knew it was a seminal episode, and everybody committed to it. And I think that was The Walking Dead at its best.
I think so. It was really touching. And speaking of that, what do you think the reason is that zombie fiction has now enjoying such a revival in recent years? The Walking Dead being a front runner, you could say, in a way. Why do you think, do you have any ideas why zombie fiction's become such a popular?
I have a few ideas. I think it actually is it's a very simple mythology. There's some virus brings dead people back. There's no kings, there's no different levels, there's no mythology. Sometimes we get into that stuff with vampires or other supernatural creatures. This feels more based in science than the supernatural, let's say.
Yes.
So it feels accessible. It's violent. You either shoot them in the head or stab them in the head, you get eaten. It's very, very simple. And I think it's just part of way we write our particular show is the audience plays along at home, if you will. They watch the show, and we write these dilemmas into the show. I'd shoot this guy to get away. I would continue the search. I would stay there. I would do this. I would do that. We constantly have our characters making decisions, and the audience at home is saying, why are they doing that? They should do this. They should do that.
Yeah.
Still very, very invested in the decision-making process.
Oh, well, it certainly has affected, I think, the way we look at television. It's something that when I first heard about a zombie television series, I thought, no way, that just can't happen. People won't take it seriously. But judging from all the accolades, and let alone the amazing record-breaking people tuning in. I think it was for the opening episode of the latest season, season 3. Just shows that how wrong we can be, that horror fiction, zombie fiction can actually be accepted as, you know, as an art form. We're fine with that here at Sci-Fi and Scream because we're very biased about, we love our horror and that type of fiction. So,
well, so do I. I mean, I am a horror fan, particularly of zombie films. So that's kind of what drew me to the material
okay.
in the first place. And I'm excited to be involved in a horror show doing that. You know, I am a genre fan. So it's exciting to see that sort of dominating the charts right now. It's fun.
Yeah, good. Well, since you are a zombie film fan, and that's a bit of a mouthful, but okay, is it Romero films? What are the ones that you think are iconic and have influenced you and therefore the way you've created The Walking Dead?
Well, I think that's, well, I didn't create The Walking Dead.
Well, I mean the television.
Frank Darabont. But, you know, I think the first three Romero films are something we draw upon, you know, particularly Day of the Dead. I think
yes.
later Romero films, He shows them evolving. He shows that they have some brain capacity. They're learning how to use guns. That's something we've had a lot of conversations about. What can a zombie do? Can a zombie pick up a rock and break a window? That was something that Frank Darabont had written in some of the early episodes. Greg Nicotero sometimes disagrees with that. Greg is our makeup artist and a director on the show, a director-producer, and we've had conversations about what can a zombie do. We've had conversations. There's an episode coming up in which some of the zombies are behind a pane of glass. The question, I thought they would break the glass to snatch somebody on the other side. Some people felt they would be stopped by the glass. And we could debate this for 6-7 hours at a time. We spend a lot of time thinking about zombie lore and justice, and we really kind of rely on Greg's expertise. When all the writers are discussing this, I will call Greg and ask him and defer to Greg. There's also been a lot that we've done in the show. Well, I'll call Greg and ask, have we ever seen this before? Has a zombie ever done this in a film? If we can come up with something that's never happened before, you know, more power to us. So we are really trying to take that zombie lore seriously and try push it.
Going right back in your career, working as a hospital administrator right back in the 90s in New York before moving to Los Angeles, how much has that influenced on you in the zombie lore and what you've brought to that concept for The Walking Dead?
That's interesting. Usually people ask me that question, and I talk about management styles, about how, you know, dealing with a crisis or dealing with the continual flow of high-maintenance work, like that. You know, this patient's coming in.
Yes.
You know, they're sicker than that patient, and you have these different things. But one of the things that I paid a lot of attention to that I think you can see in the show is how people respond to trauma. And what I find is, you know, on a lot of TV shows, for example, you have in a trauma situation a lot of people screaming, do this, do that, you know,
yeah.
Hospital, stop them, you know, 10cc, stat. No, people are trapped. People realize if you shout, someone's going to cause an accident. So working in a hospital, when there's a trauma going on, people are very calm and trained. And then afterwards, after the patient is attended to, that's when emotion comes spilling out.
Look
at how we write the show. When there is action, there's very little dialogue. There's not a lot of screaming.
Yep.
People kind of focus on what is the task, what do I do,
how exactly, to
survive, that sort of stuff. And then when it's over, they're at each other's throats. They're arguing. Once I've noticed the audience... is I don't like everyone's arguing, they're deciding where to go, they're deciding what to do. Sometimes the audience weighs in on message boards, that kind of stuff. But I think this is a very, very psychologically real manifestation of how people deal with trauma. You know, if you look at, say, the event of 9/11, people were very focused. How can I give blood? How can I find my loved ones?
Yes.
And then in the months after 9/11, people had the debates about what to do, but it was people came together in the crisis, and then afterward, people maybe had different points of view, and the arguments heated up.
Yeah. Well, then you can dissect it, disseminate it after you've digested it, and other things that start with D, I suppose. And obviously, September 11 and that tragedy affected you quite deeply, being from New York as well.
Oh, yes. You know, I didn't lose anybody in that attack, but I knew people who went through it. And one of the saddest stories, you know, that personally affected me is my father is a doctor at St. Vincent's Hospital, which is now closed. But that was the hospital closest to the site of the World Trade Center.
Yes, right.
In a trauma situation like that, or a catastrophe situation, all of the hospital workers... You know, everybody runs to the emergency room doors. Everybody has gurneys and wheelchairs, and they're waiting for the victims of this attack. And they waited and waited, and nobody, because there were no survivors. Those people who were in the building, and my father told me that, and just the idea of all of the hospital personnel waiting to help, and nobody came. It's really very affecting. A very affecting image, even to this day.
Yeah, that's, giving me goosebumps just thinking about that. Very profound. Now, just before we do head off and let you be at peace over there, before you come to Australia, basically, as far as AMC goes, can you say anything about the direction of the show now that you won't be part of it? You're there right to the end of this season, is that right? And then you won't be around after that?
Yeah, you know, I would rather not say about the direction of the show. I'll just say I'm proud of the direction of the show that I took the show in, and, you know, AMC will, you know, they wanted something different, and it really was creative differences. So all of them, you know, they'll put their show on the air, and we'll take a look at it, and people then will be able to say. But I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth or speak for someone else. I'm comfortable speaking about what I've done on the show.
Okay. Now, speaking of what you've done on the show, what would you say was your most favorite episode that you've worked on? Do you have a favorite, or is that too hard?
That's a good question. I love that finale from last year. I love the second season finale. I love this season premiere this year. I will say that this Sunday here in the States, our 10th episode airs.
Mm-hmm.
The last 10 minutes of that episode are perhaps my favorite 10 minutes of the entire series.
Okay, so that's the last part of...
A pretty great sequence that was directed by Heath Mann, and it's just a lot of fun, and I'm really proud of it. So I hope people love it as much as I did.
Well, we certainly do love the series here on Sci-Fi and Scream. We've been great followers, Dr. Beddoes and I, and we're just really, really chuffed, as they say over here, to have a chance to speak to someone with such a brilliant and fascinating background and all those things you've brought from your own life and real life and how you've brought them and diffused them into The Walking Dead. It certainly shows and keeps us basically hanging on the edge, waiting for the next turn of what happens to these awesome characters. And I do love the way that you've introduced more people of color, you know, African-American characters into the mix. I think that's wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, that's something that we needed to improve.
Mm.
And I think we did better at it this year, and it's something that I think should always be a part of the show. So.
Yeah, cool. Now, you're over here very shortly, very soon, actually, 23rd of February, I believe, here in Melbourne, or Batmania, as it used to be called. Now, you're over here for the epiphany.com.au. It's an aspiring writers, TV writers studio and workshop. Can you tell us what people might expect with yourself? Are you running any workshops personally?
Well, I'll be giving a speech about the role of the showrunner.
Yep.
And the model of our writer's room, how we have a writer's room and a showrunner, and how the different writers collaborate to put together an order of 16 episodes.
Yep,
so
right.
We're doing that. And then I'll be, I think, listening to people pitch ideas, and I'll give different feedback about what I think would improve their pitches. But I'm really there to, you know, answer questions and meet with people and to, you know, see a beautiful country. I've never been there before.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That.
Cool.
I'm very excited about that. And I'm really looking forward to it. So I think it'll be fun, and I just really am excited.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting. When I saw that you were on that list, I thought, wow, okay, I've got to find out how I can talk to this amazing person. And thank you so much for letting us talk to you today here on Sci-Fi and Scream. Glenn Mazzara from The Walking Dead, the head showrunner, producer. Have you directed any episodes, by the way, as such?
No, I have not.
No. Is that something you would have liked to have done, or...?
I was thinking about it, but, you know, show running is a full-time job. It probably would have killed me.
Yeah, true enough. You can't be one of your characters, that's for sure.
This is Glenn Mazzara from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
All right, well, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a lovely trip here. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, listeners, that was Glenn Mazzara, the TV showrunner himself, the producer and the writer, executive producer as well, of something called The Walking Dead. Now, we do know what The Walking Dead is. It is probably one of the biggest, most amazing television creations, concepts, from comic to the small screen that's been developed, I would say, this part of this end of the century. So showrunner is normally a term that originates in the US in the TV industry, and it refers to a person who's responsible for day-to-day operations for the television series. They're also credited as executive producer, as is Glenn Mazzara. Now, Glenn is originally from New York, but moved to LA. But before he moved to LA, as I mentioned in one of our questions, he worked as a hospital administrator, now up until 1998. So it just shows you he's brought a lot of his own experiences outside of television writing and screenwriting, and definitely it's had an impact on what we know as The Walking Dead. This is Sonia, and it's Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.